lights out, we're underway. Motorsport Republic of Podcast.
Tom, we are in Malaysia.
We are.
For our Malaysian pods.
I know, it's amazing. We've had a great week here. Sorry if the sound quality isn't as it normally is. We're on our little lapel mics.
Yes.
We had very, very limited luggage space to get here. So appreciate your understanding. But wow, I mean, what a weekend we've had. It's been incredible.
Bro, it's been massive. We don't have our normal mics. I got to hold a beer. We're drinking beers right now because...
Cheers, guys.
It feels weird not holding a
mic. So it's 8 p.m. at night, roughly. We've had, you know, race day. It was a crazy day because obviously we had the massive incident with Noah Deadwiller at the start and Roeda, world champion.
Condolences or whatever the right word is goes out to them. Because obviously they want a lot of respect and privacy from the team. CRP Green Power's come out. Our phones are going crazy right now. It's funny because I was like, Tom's phone's definitely going to go off, and then my phone definitely went off.
TNT are reporting that his life is, by the sounds of things, out of danger, which is fantastic to hear that today in the last couple of hours. But yeah, punctured lung, and I don't know if his life's ever going to be the same, unfortunately. So
who knows? Yeah. Who knows? It's it was one of the most crazy, scary crashes.
And eerie at the track, wasn't it? Like, and a lot of people around us going, "Oh my god, this felt like 14 years ago." Cinicelli. Same thing, it happened on the warm up of Moto3 of all things, like right when the action was about to get started.
It was all happening.
Yeah,
it was literally all happening.
So super sad, and
it was just a siding lap.
Yeah, it wasn't even the warm up lap, siding lap. So we're gonna get more and more information over the next couple of days, but we'll leave it at that for now. But let's talk about the positives, I suppose.
Yeah, well, massive weekend, man. Like, we flew in, you flew in Tuesday night, flew in Wednesday midday, and bro, Kuala Lumpur's pretty crazy place.
Like, yeah. What do you think? What do you think of Kuala Lumpur?
I don't know. It's okay. It's weird because I did zero research going into this. So like, I did not know what to expect, and I just kind of, it's like half brand new modern and then half like slums. It's weird.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a weird one. It's definitely for me a fly in, fly out Grand Prix. Same as Burium. It's not a, let's spend 2 weeks here or anything like that.
Nah, no way.
And I think we're past that point anyway for... We want to come here, do the job and leave.
Yeah.
And I thought the track's fantastic. That grandstand is worth going to. It's definitely a bucket list destination ticked off for me.
Yeah,
Going through when I was a kid, F1 was here, GP was here, all the history. You know, Simoncelli, Marquez, Rossi kick... in quotation marks, we reinvented it on Thursday. That track walk was incredible experience. And I keep telling you all week, you know, we're gonna look back at this 2, 3, 4 years later and go, how good that weekend was.
Yeah, it was. It was crazy. Doing the track walk was amazing. We got out there nice and early for you because it was so hot.
Yes, we did. We had the track to ourselves.
Yeah, we did.
We had the track to ourselves.
Juan Mir and Quartararo run past us. Yes, which is pretty surreal.
Yeah.
But it was very, very cool. Since we've been watching it since we were little kids, and Sepang's been on the calendar since 99 or whatever it is. So it was very weird to walk around it. But anyway, the racing, what do you think of all the racing? We got top 10 results.
Yeah, let's start with that. So yeah, Alex Marquez first, which is incredible. Pedro Acosta, one of the best races I've seen him do, second. Juan Mir third after Bagnaia's puncture. Morbidelli fourth, Quartararo fifth. Digia 6th, Bastianini through the field 7th, Luca Marini 8th, Brad Binder 9th, and Aiguera 10th.
Oh, wow, man.
It was like, what, from 5th to 10th was crazy.
Yeah.
Crazy result. Bezzecchi outside the top 10.
Well, like, it's like a complete not Aprilia track. But it kind of leads to me, and we were talking about this when we were in the van today or the other day. Like, yes, it's not Aprilia track, but if you want to win a title against Marc Marquez, you have to be top 5. Yeah, realistically, you've got to be podium in every race.
Yeah, even if it's not, doesn't suit your bike down to the tee, you have to be up there.
Yeah, you can't have a result where you're qualifying 15th to finishing 12th or 10th or whatever. It just doesn't fly.
Doesn't happen anymore, modern MotoGP.
Nah.
Not with the dominance of a Ducati.
Nah, definitely not with the dominance of Ducati. Because, Ducati is going to have, they're going to have weekends where they're going to struggle, like in Mandalika. Mm. But going up against Marc Marquez is a different story again.
Yeah, and then we've talked about this all week with the boys. We're traveling with about 9 of us, which has been awesome. And it's just like, what if Marquez was here? I mean, what we would have seen out there? If Alex is winning, if Alex is winning, you expect Marquez to be
dominating, well,
3/10 a lap quicker at least, you know. So it's sad that we didn't see him, and there's still a lot of fans there. Did you think that mall section? I thought it was going to be busier for me. I mean, maybe everyone sat in the seats, and I wasn't, you know.
So yeah, I know what you mean, but the mall section. So when you first walk in, it's like all the vendors and like the showy helmets and Honda and Yamaha.
And you actually go in there before you scan your ticket.
Yeah, and that was so busy because anyone could walk in there. Yeah. You just had to go through like a bag search.
Yeah.
That was awesome. Yeah. Crazy busy. You would have probably seen it in like our socials and everything like that. And I thought that was like top notch. Like you almost can't get better than that. Like I thought it was amazing. Bull riding was in there. Crazy. Like it was so loud. Like Thailand's not as bad as Thailand, but it's loud. Everyone loves a megaphone.
Yep.
But the actual mall section was only probably busy. Like, and for anyone listening or watching, it's just like the food vendors, I guess. It's only food.
Only food.
Once you go past the ticketed gates. And like Friday and Saturday wasn't really busy. It was kind of busy on Sunday, but nothing crazy. But it's so much space.
Yeah. I personally enjoyed the outside of Burium much better. I loved we spent time inside in that area, and we walked into, say, the Yamaha section. We walked into the Honda section. We walked into, and we were inside a room where you could walk around and see the bikes. And we did a little bit of that in Malaysia, but I felt like Burium, there was a lot more of that.
It was like Burium had more to look at, but less things.
Yeah, okay.
Where fucking Sepang had heaps more, but less to look at.
Yeah, right.
Like, you're not going to walk in there, T-Shavs, and go and to the Motorbat stall for batteries. That's the last thing you're going to do. You would freak out.
It's so funny. All week we've been talking about tinkering.
Yeah.
Tinkering motorcycles. And I'm like, and James, we're probably on the same page. Like, I couldn't be fucked.
There's no chance.
I'd rather just take it, pay someone, get it done while I go do cool shit.
Yeah. But listeners now will be freaking out.
Oh, they'll be freaking out. We've got Marky Mark on the trip, 6-year-old, sick bloke. And he could sit there, and your dad's the same. Dave Superbike Shaw's on the trip as well. They could sit there and tinker, and like we could put this in there. We got to clean this 15 times. And I'm like, it's just a dying art. And I'm sure we've got listeners at home who love that stuff. But geez, I think in our age group, it definitely is a dying art. So
maybe in the northern suburbs it is. But it's, I don't want to be doing that. But the mall, I like the mall. I thought they could have added more like food stuff in there.
Yep.
But it had a KFC in there, which was weird. And a Pizza Hut.
Yeah. And we're going to bring a vlog out in the next couple of weeks, and so stay tuned for that. Back to the racing. Sorry, I weaved around a little bit. Donald Trump's in the city at the moment, so I'm weaving all
around. How crazy is the traffic been?
The traffic's fucked, yeah.
There's like all these like ambassadors and shit everywhere, like road closures. Yeah, it's being wild. Why can't they close the road for us? Seriously.
Why can't they do it a different weekend?
I don't know. For any weekend. What else happens in Kuala Lumpur?
It's their biggest motorsport weekend of the year, and they do it. Let's talk about Bagnaia, because for me, Bagnaia was like... Yo-yo. And we talked about that. We walked down on Saturday night going, fucking yo-yo. He can't do it, can he?
Yeah.
And obviously, he had the wrong tyre choice in the end. But
you had the sprint race, dominated the sprint.
It's crazy.
Qualified first.
Yeah.
And then was going to be a podium. He's going to be at least second, at worst, third.
Yeah.
But he looked like he was going to be second.
But if you put the softs on, you know.
You reckon he would have won?
I reckon he would have gone close, yeah.
But it still doesn't make sense if you put the softs on or put the mediums on and he's winning, right? Or coming second, or winning the sprint race and coming second in the main. Like, that still doesn't make sense.
Well, I thought personally that mediums was the right choice, and I said this to you.
Yeah.
I'm like, that's a fucking masterstroke. It's the hottest part of the weekend, always race day, hottest part of the weekend, always happens.
Yeah.
It's boiling out there, guys. Like, it's 35 degrees, but we're not talking 35 degrees in Melbourne. We're talking about tropical 35 degrees, humidity 100%. It was fucking hot. Like, the experience of that heat walking into the place, like at 11 o'clock this morning, that was hot.
That was hot.
We
were supposed to film the pod tonight by the pool, but it was too hot.
It's too hot.
The camera would overheat, and you won't have a podcast.
The podcast overheat. The camera overheats in a fucking tight room in Melbourne. It's gonna fucking blow up out there. Jesus Christ!
It did in Thailand.
It did. But yeah, for me, it going back to bags. 20 lap race, so it was slightly shortened, which we didn't realise at the time. Slightly shortened race, because obviously what happened with Noah and Jose Rueda. But I'm thinking to myself, everyone else in the top eight's gone for the softs.
Yeah.
I'm thinking, well, yeah, it's still a 20 lap race, but yeah, the softs just works perfectly there. He should have stayed because the thing is with Bags, if you pass him, he's got every chance of it just falling apart. But if he stays out in front like he did the sprint, there's no chance of catching him. It happens every race.
Yeah.
It's very unusual that he gets out in front and he gets a second lead and he gets caught.
Bro, 100. I can't agree more. I was next to Adrian and I said to him, Bags got to a half a second or almost a second lead. And then Alex Marquez, or this is from Alex Marquez, dive bombed Pedro, blocked past him,
yep.
And then gave Bags a second lead or a 0.7 lead, whatever it is. And I leaned over to Adrian and said, race is done.
Yeah.
Race is done. He's going to win. And then he just got reeled in. And then it's looking like it's a puncture, but like a slow leak puncture.
Yeah.
Whatever that means. But when has a puncture ever happened?
Never happens.
It never happens in MotoGP.
Obviously, that big accident. Turn 3, Moto 3, and might have left some debris on the track.
Maybe.
But they had a whole race after that with Moto 3, so...
Nothing happened there.
Yeah. Maybe they take different lines and stuff as well, but... Yeah.
But going back to Pecco, I still don't understand how you can fluck... It's so unlucky that he's, about to win or be second and then gets a puncture. Like, he had those engine problems blowing smoke in Montegi when he was about to win. Like, he's like, cursed at the moment. But
yeah.
It still doesn't make any sense why he's fast there.
I still think he wouldn't. If it was a slow puncture, you know, it might have been an issue from, you know, lap one. Who knows, you know?
Mm.
And I haven't actually thought about that. But
if it's a slow puncture, then you can understand why he got reeled in by Alex Marquez.
Yeah.
Because that
yeah.
would never happen.
Well, the only thing that, obviously, the medium tyre wasn't working, and that's what I was, that's what I was sort of thinking. Well, obviously, it doesn't work. But if it's a slow puncture, it's a great point because yeah. that could have happened. And I'm sure people at home going, "Oh yeah, true. That's I didn't think about that."
Yeah.
So, interesting point.
It could have hampered his race by far, bro. Juan Mir, third place.
Mm.
I said to you at the start of the weekend, he's going to crash at Aiguru Corner, which is the tight left hander going up the hill.
You did.
He did that in sprint race, and he was coming fourth or fifth, I believe, having a very good race. Now, he's got third. Amazing race. We interviewed him in Phillip Island.
Stay tuned.
Amazing,
for that.
Amazing guy. It might secretly still be on Spotify. Honda's coming. Now, my question is to you, is he the lead man in Honda now?
Well, Marini's had a great month as well. Mm. I mean, you got to remember he podiumed in...
He hasn't podiumed.
Marini hasn't podiumed. Fourth, sorry.
Juan Mir's now done the double podium with Montegi and Sepang.
Okay. I thought Marini had a podium in between them, so I'm obviously wrong. For me, yes. I mean, he's a world champion, and we always talk about this. And I think there's no clear number one of that team, though. I think they're both level. But what happens when Pedro Acosta comes knocking? Who's going?
Well, yeah, exactly right. There's a good hot take in that. But I think if they're backing... I think Juan Mir is now the man that's got all the... potential in that HRC bike. And I've been saying this for ages, he's been crashing. I get it, he's been crashing, but he's been crashing out of fifth, sixth, fourth, third place, whatever it is. And now he gets a third here. Should have really been a fourth in the sprint. I think he's their man with HRC. And they're all doing good. Obviously, Chandra, take him out of it, but they're all doing good and producing results. Like, Zarco got second at Silverstone. I get it was a bit of a weird race. One in France, again, a crazy race. Mm. But Juan Mir has been probably the most consistent rider in either crashing or being the fastest.
Mm.
And Luca Marini's come on really well after his injury.
Well, for me, it's Mir is just, he crashes too much and crashes in the sprint again. He's just got to stop crashing. He really does. I mean, he's going to be a 2020 world champion, but the last 3 years, he's had 44 crashes or something, they were saying.
In the last 3 years.
Yeah, 44 right. crashes. I mean, that's just a huge amount. So, you know, you're not going to win races and championships in crashing all the time, are you?
Well, no, you're definitely not. But you got to understand that bike that he's been riding for the past 3 years has been an absolute
He can't crash fucking Aiguru Corner, though. It's inexcusable.
Yeah, that's a Pecco Bagnaia I did last year. Yeah. Lost him the title.
Yeah, God.
That's a common place to crash.
Mm. We walked the track Thursday. It's amazing how tight some of those corners are.
Crazy.
Like turn two, I don't know how they get through there.
Yeah, and how much it dips.
Oh, it's and turn three, after where that incident happened today, that would be, you know, you're almost like having to get a walk faster because it's so downhill.
Yeah.
The undulation for that track is insane.
It is.
And really the outside, is. If you go past the ripple strip, there's a fucking drain, which is about two fucking inches thick, and then like concrete, like bricks, that has no grip at all.
Yeah.
It's a very unusual design. I've never seen anything like it.
It is. It's amazing. You don't realize how undulating Sepang is until you walk it, or you maybe even just see it on person. And then you don't realize, talking about like negative camber was a big thing in our points for the points. But that last corner, hairpin, it's amazing. And you sit at the mushroom, which is an incredible spot to sit to watch MotoGP.
Oh, it is.
You can see half the track, one half of the track, or the other half of the track, and the bikes are so close. But watching them take different lines, and you would have seen it in our socials, but watching them all take different lines was amazing.
Yeah, that last corner, it's obviously they reprofiled it a few years ago. It really sits, you know, negative cambered, and it's, you know, and seeing them break into that corner as well, they just all take different lines. It was so interesting to be. And if you're going to Sepang, guys, go to that mushroom section. So buy a main grandstand tier, go to the mushroom section, go up the top, and you're going to see pretty much 90% of the track.
Yeah.
And you can look right down into the braking zone in the last corner. And you know, I kind of wish we watched the race from there, but we had such good seats.
We had great seats, and it was awesome getting the headphones. We needed the headphones to listen to what was going on.
That was I wasn't going to get them.
Yeah.
I wasn't going to get them, and then we crunched up, I think, for three sets or something. So let's do it. You know?
And we're like, we need to actually know what's going on for the pod.
Yeah,
as well.
Of course. So we were sitting here going, what the hell went? What the hell's going on? And you guys were like, well, these guys didn't even fucking watch it. So.
Yeah.
So weird with our microphones and headphones, by the way.
No, I don't feel like I'm locked in at all. It's the weirdest thing ever. And I need to hold a beer because I was like, at least I'm holding something. Otherwise, I don't know what to do with my hands.
It's just, I don't know what to do with my hands either.
It's very strange. It's like we're interviewing each other.
Well, we're the second tallest building behind us. I don't know if you guys can see, but that there is the second tallest building in the world.
Yeah, right, but it doesn't count because it's just got a big light post on top of it.
Yeah, yeah. We found out the Malaysian, they've got like a little bit of, they've clocked the system.
Yeah, they're a bit tricky, cheeky.
They've got, like even the Twin Towers, Petronas Twin Towers, they're 388 metres high, but then they've got 70 metre little posts on the top. So they go, oh, they're 450 metres
high. And the problem is there's no fucking reception here. So at least put some satellite dishes on top so we get some reception.
Something, yeah. The reception at the track today. Matty, who's travelling with us, is not a MotoGP fan at all, but he just loves coming with the boys. And he would sit on his phone 95% of the time.
Yeah.
Watching the race, and he had nothing to do.
And it was like the longest day of racing ever.
We said it to him today. We're like, mate, you just experienced the longest race day in MotoGP history.
It's 35 degree heat.
Yeah, it started at, the Honda Asia Talent Cup started at like 9 o'clock this morning, and the last race finished at 5.
Fuck, yeah, no, it was wild. It was a long day. It was a crazy long day.
Going back to that, I mean, it was sort of fucking eerie, wasn't it, at the start? Because we're sitting down in our seats, and we sit down, okay, it's about 11:30. We sit down, got the seat, great, a couple of beers, whatever. And then red flag. I'm like, red flag, what's going on? And then it said, obviously, the incident. And then it was an hour and 40-minute delay.
Yeah.
Until
an hour and 40 it was, wasn't it? Fucking hell. And it's cool. And I like, the good thing about when we go overseas, like, I like being in with, like, I like the atmosphere, being within everyone. There was a guy next to us, and he won the Motul Oceania thing to go to Sepang. Mm. And he had flights paid for. He had, like, a mad hospitality, and he goes to the hospo and he was telling us, he's like, I can't see anything. Yeah. And he just bought a ticket and then went out and watched it next to us.
Yeah.
Like, it's crazy. Yeah. But, like, sometimes the best seats are, you know, in GA, or if you're going to go, like, GA is kind of grandstand for Sepang, whatever it is.
Yeah, well, yeah, main grandstand ticket's the way to go, 1000%. Because then that entrance you go to is that main entrance as well.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty sure you couldn't get in there unless you had that main grandstand ticket.
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah, that's definitely our recommendation for that.
Definitely.
We had media passes, but there wasn't really much going on. First, the back of the pits. There wasn't the vibe wasn't like other Grand Prix. Definitely not like Australia.
It's quieter. But you were saying something about how you have to buy like full hospo to only get a paddock pass, where Australia you don't.
Yeah, there's no, you can't buy a paddock pass there. So you have to go to hospitality unit to get a paddock pass, and then the people who are in the hospitality and spending all that money are not sort of going around taking photos of the riders. So
what was crazy is we had our driver. And we had him for 3 days.
Oh, yeah.
And we're walking through the pits. Hey, Tom, James. And it's our fucking driver of the Crescenti Hospitality. It was the random thing ever.
So Mark Bandana Man, he's been on the pod before. He organises his driver. And the guy's got Crescenti Hospitality. And
P1 pass.
And a P1 parking pass, which is like legitimately the best pass. And yeah, he has better passes than us.
Yeah, yeah. And we're walking in, he's yelling at us on our beers.
It was funny because on the Saturday night, we drove home and we keep joking that he got so pissed at the hotspot unit. And he got, and we actually got into a road rage instead of working. We put on the...
Oh, fuck, we did get into a road rage incident. Yeah.
So we'll put that on the, that'll be on the vlog on the way home Saturday night. We're like talking.
So Tommy, anyway, I've been looking at getting a new helmet.
Okay, right you are.
A replica helmet.
Okay.
So I'm looking at either like a Marc Marquez, Shoei, Rossi AGV, or controversially like a Nakagami Arai. What do you think?
Well, I think Nakagami Arai might be a bad idea because they'd have to build them strong. You know, repeat hits throughout the whole weekend.
That's right.
Where would you find something like that?
Mate, motoheaven.com.au. They have all the helmet brands that you want. They've got all the racing suits, jackets, big brands, HJC, Shoei, Dainese, Alps. Mate, they have everything. How good's that?
That is so good. And I heard like there's free delivery over $150 as well.
Free delivery over $150. Super, super fast dispatch, which is amazing all around the country. They do an excellent job. You just check out their Google reviews. It's like all 5 stars. It's pretty amazing. They do a great job.
Give the people the website.
Motoheaven.com.au. Check them out. They are the best in the business for all your motorcycle needs. And they've got a parts finder. You can get all the parts you want. Brake discs, chains, sprockets, spark plugs. I know that's all gobbledygook to you, Tom. But that is the they are the best in the business. Head down to motoheaven.com.au and they will look after you.
These guys are our driver's getting out of the car because he's fucking hasn't had a beer in a couple of hours, so he's red hot. Yeah, he's red hot. And nearly got into a punch on with a bloody truck driver, and all in the vlog though. It'll be all in the vlog.
It's
so
very funny. It was crazy.
But the vlog's gonna be pretty raw, I think. It's got a lot. Like we didn't really venture out much from the pits. There was nothing happening in the pits, so there'll be a lot of stuff that happens in sort of that mushroom area. And
where you would want to be.
Where you want to be, and that's the sort of feedback we got from Thailand. Is like, guys, we don't give a fuck about the back of the pits. We're not gonna be going there. So what's around the place, and we'll show Malaysia how it is.
100%.
Because that was it for us. Like, there's no Phillip Island, you go across the bridge and they've got the expo and stuff like that. Obviously, that was the start and all in one section, but there's not really anything else around the track.
Nah, not really. It's not like Sepang. Like, but the good thing about Phillip Island is you can see everything around the track.
Yeah.
Like as in watching MotoGP bikes around. You're so close. Yeah. It's still, I think, amazing.
Phillip Island still. And Adrian, Motoheaven, he was getting on everyone
from Perth. There's so many people from Perth.
They're like, oh, we're not going to Phillip Island. It's so expensive and it's cheaper to come here. And they're like, yeah, but it's still your home Grand Prix and you'll still have a great weekend. It's not like how much it's going to cost to come here. It's you'll still have a great weekend at Phillip Island. You go out to Cowes, everyone will be fucking happy and you know, like-minded. Phillip Island's still awesome.
Yeah.
And everyone just loves complaining about it because tall poppy syndrome.
100%.
I'll give you an example of tall poppy syndrome today.
Go on.
We're sitting there and a guy's throwing his hat up. And catching it, throwing his hat up and catching it over there. And the crowd's going wild.
They're going wild.
He's throwing, that's all he is.
Because we're all crossing the one back straight, we're crossing the pits where they had the Honda Asian Talent.
And everyone's like, yeah, everyone's clapping. Yeah. If that happened in Australia, fucking sit down, mate.
Yeah,
stop throwing your hat.
Booing. Woo. Yeah, yeah.
That's the difference of the culture, isn't it? Yeah. Like, they're loving it. Yeah, awesome. And if that was, it happened,
It's the only way Aussies, I shouldn't say Aussies, but like what a lot of people would cheer for, it's like Bathurst, when someone crashes, they all cheer.
Yeah. It's funny.
It's very funny how different it is. Alex Marquez winning.
Oh my God.
We haven't even spoken about it yet. And second in the championship. Marc Marquez, Alex Marquez, both brothers wrapped that 1-2. Isn't that crazy? Who would have thought of that?
I know. Well,
we
didn't pick it.
No one picked it at the start of the year.
We might have picked Mark, but we definitely didn't pick fucking Alex.
Did not pick Alex. And, you know, it's a Federer and Alex's cap to come back. You know, he's had probably a hard couple of rounds and then to come back and then win in Sepang. You know, mate, so it shows him a little bit. He's awesome. He's legit.
And he was putting, you know, 2-minute ones, lap times and just, you know, obliterating the field.
And, like, Pedro did his best to come after him and he just had no chance.
Well, for me, Pedro Acosta's best race that I've seen him do because he's up the back of Bagnaia ripping up that rear soft tyre the whole race and he comes back and still only finishes a couple of seconds behind Alex. Great performance.
Yeah, great performance. And yeah. KTM is notorious for bad tire life.
And we're watching it, and I'm telling you, this guy's up his ass for 12, 15 laps. I'm not sure how long it was, but he's right up his backside. He's pulling out of the slipstream on the main straight to get clear and cool his tires down, and then going back in, you know, to get that extra speed. But for me, to him to hold on his tires and then to even put a little bit of he actually got a little bit closer to Alex throughout the race. That was amazing. When, you know, KTM, yes, it suited them slightly because Bastianini got up to seventh, but realistically, it wasn't, you know, it's not one of their preferred tracks.
Who, Alex Marquez got voted rider of the day. Is that, do you think that's the right?
I think so. I mean, he won the race convincingly. He passed to the lead as well. You know, doesn't matter if he, you know, Bags has got a puncture or had the wrong tire on. He still passed for the lead, won the race, and was flawless. Didn't make a mistake. But yeah, Pedro has to be a close second for me. Bastianini coming through the field seventh as well. Binder finished 10th or 9th or 10th. And I'm like, dude, he was like out the back of the sprint. Mm. So he had a
good race.
Know, maybe KTM's tires are, you know, maybe they've got on top of it.
Yeah, look, they are changing and improving round by round, just like how Honda are. And it's that race for second spot. Like, and next year, with all the concessions, it's coming into the last year, we've spoken about it. It's tightening up so much. It's just, it's hard to understand how close it actually is because Mark's not there at the moment. Because when Mark's there, Ducati looks completely different.
You're right. Yeah.
It looks completely different. And like the sprint race, Fermín Aldeguer got third place. Obviously, he had that bullshit 8-second penalty. He got third place. He's a rookie. Ducatis are still the best bike. But when Mark's on it, we get a true appreciation of how large the gap is or how much the gap is actually closing.
Yeah, well said.
And it's hard to really understand that.
Mm. It's amazing for me, Aldeguer, how big a difference it was between the sprint and the main race. Like, was it tire pressure? Was that why he was so good in the sprint race?
Probably, yeah.
And then he was nowhere in the main race and then crashed. I mean, yeah. And talking about yo-yos, Digi is the same. Second to 16th or something. I mean, I think he got in the top 10 in the end, but, you know, he's in the same category as Bags to a certain extent. Yeah. I mean, we've never seen anything like this from Bagnaia before in MotoGP history. There's not a guy who goes and wins one weekend and finishes last the next. It doesn't happen. It hasn't happened. So,
here's a question for you. After this round, is Pecco Bagnaia still on fraud watch?
Is Pecco Bagnaia still on fraud watch?
That's a hard question. And we had a lot of people in Sepang and Phillip Islands ask us if he's still on fraud watch.
For me, no, he's not. It's so close. We had people come.
Why are you laughing?
I don't know. It's just you can't. If you can't cry, you laugh. I suppose, isn't it? It's just fucking crazy that this guy. And you're right. He gets unlucky as well. I mean, he won Motegi with the smoky fucking engine anyway. But for me, it's the slow leak puncher. But obviously, I still think he picked the wrong tire. I still think he picked the wrong tire. Who knows when he got the puncture? Who knows? But for me, I still think the medium tyre obviously didn't work. I mean, you go through the field and the medium tyre didn't work. So I think he sort of made the wrong decision on that. Yes, it looked good in paper. Is he on fraud watch, James? Sure. No, he's off. He's off.
That's a clip right there.
Mm.
V4 Yamaha. There's been a massive amount of anticipation of you seeing the V4 Yamaha. Now, the good thing about the mushroom and watching it out of Sepang, and an amazing thing, just going a bit of a weave here, we're so used to Phillip Island to a degree where the bikes are always in the rev range. They're always high rev because it's so fast flowing. But when you're in Sepang, the sounds, you never really see in Phillip Island them really accelerating out of corners. Hearing the Honda sounds amazing. Best sounding motorcycle on the grid. So angry. They just sound like they're going to rip your arms off. But my point is, we were watching everyone come out of the mushroom in the last corner and watching the rear ride height device squat down. And that V4 Yamaha has not got it set up yet. That was bouncing everywhere.
Yeah.
You can tell it's still such a test bike. And it's very hard to tell when you're watching on TV, but when you're watching it in person, you can really tell it's still a test bike.
What's the reason they were going to the V4?
More power.
Okay. Well, why are they 8 kilometers slower in the speed trap than everybody else?
They are getting eaten by everyone on that. But look, they're testing. Who knows? They're testing
stuff. But it's like, for me, it's like, if you're going to go to a more powerful engine, you start with the top speed and then you work everything else out around that, for me. Because, yes, if you're going to put a V4 engine in it and you want more power, then you got to start backwards.
So that's funny you say that, because manufacturers will do that. Ducati's done that in the past. But then Yamaha will start with agility.
Yeah.
And then making sure the chassis is amazing, and then they can turn, they can brake, but they might not have the power. And that won them championships.
Yeah. It's a
Honda's just a jumbled mess, and they just put the best rider on, and then that was it. There was just nothing there.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
You know what I mean? So, like, it's... They're almost, maybe realistically, Honda was 50-50. They didn't have the best in cornering. They didn't have the best in the best at top speed, but they had a middle ground in both.
Yeah. Well, we were talking about earlier in the week, the cool wall, Top Gear cool wall.
Yeah.
Remember that?
Yeah, yeah. That was
great.
And
I'm like, Honda for me is cool. I've taken Honda off. I put it on cool. It's on the cool. It's very cool.
It was not cool in Buriram.
It's not cool in Buriram.
Yeah.
It is cool. You buy a Honda, it's cool. Yamaha for me, bang, down.
Not cool. We didn't make our own cool wall.
Not cool. It's amazing. For me, Honda has not only transformed their MotoGP team, they've transferred the whole brand perspective.
Is that because of racing?
Because of racing.
Yeah.
And they're trying things and they're improving. And it's, you know, we were sitting there 2 years ago, Valencia test, and there was fucking 50 or 60 of these Honda guys, you know, in the pit lane with their little laptops and going, do-do-do-do-do-do. Then nothing happened after that. Nothing happened. I'm thinking, this team's gone. Like, we're talking about Honda leaving. Remember we were talking about that?
That's crazy.
Crazy.
Yeah.
And now, podium, cool brand. They're back. Honda's back, baby.
They are back. They're back because of us. Because of us, obviously, of Make Honda Great Again campaign. Yeah. But
Harry still won't look at me in the back of the pits, but...
Nah,
Harry, the media guy, Harry, just still doesn't like me.
And he's obviously tall, poppy syndrome, but...
Exactly right! Exactly right!
Mind blown.
The weave goes back to the original point.
Yeah.
Fucking hell, it's so true. My God.
That's so fucking
funny.
Oh
my God, tall poppy again. It is though! It is!
That's hilarious. I love Honda. I've always been a Honda fan. I've always been a Honda Nuffy before Marc Marquez. Before... What are you doing, mate?
Shaking batteries, just in case.
Before Marc Marquez, before, you know, everything. I've always been a Honda fan.
You have.
And it's always been... It was always sad when they were nowhere. But Honda, as we've said, they've always had the biggest checkbook.
Mm.
They're going to build the bike. And they're coming... They're coming hard and they're coming fast.
That's how I like it. Now, they need a star rider. For me, Mir and Marini are good, solid riders, but they're not the future. They need to go for Pedro Acosta.
You know what Honda are? They're almost Aprilia 2 years ago when they signed Maverick Vinales and had Aleix Espargaró.
Yep.
It's kind of what they're like now. But like, I'm telling you, they've got two very capable riders, but yes, I agree. They don't have a Marc Marquez, which they obviously had, or a Pedro Acosta, or a Fabio Quartararo.
Would, in a weird, wonderful world and an alternative universe, and Marc Marquez's contract is up this year, would he, and they threw some money in him?
No.
He wouldn't come back? No.
Not yet.
Still not yet?
Not yet. He's got it too, he got a Ducati.
That's barometer, and that's barometer.
It is, he is the barometer.
I'm just saying an alternative universe.
Yeah. There'd be a universe out there where he would.
Yeah.
But he's too much in love with Ducati, and Ducati are too much in love with him. We talk about it, he's like La Familia now in Ducati. He is Mr. Red.
Yeah.
Pecco Bagnaia is out. Marc Marquez is in. And as you always say, Tardozzi loves him like a son.
Yeah.
Because you can see it in his eyes.
Yeah. Oh, no, he does. He does. And he has for a long time. You know, we talk about this a lot. But yeah, he's not letting him go. Not when his teammate is arguably the most inconsistent rider this year.
Here's a question for you.
It could be the most inconsistent. His 2025 campaign, Pecco Bagnaia, could be the most inconsistent campaign we've ever seen. Vinales, a few years ago, probably come close. But for me, it has to be.
But no, a great, great call for Vinales. But he's not a two-time world champion.
Correct.
On the best bike.
Mm.
I totally agree that we're witnessing the most inconsistent campaign season of all time from a world champion. And we're also witnessing the worst title defense of all time with Jorge Martin, the current world champion.
Yeah, it's been a funny year. And then we've got the older statesman now, call it Mark Marquez, coming back and dominating.
His brother that's always been in the shadow.
Finishing second.
And then we've had Bezeki, who's kind of done nothing.
Yeah.
As we always think is probably the second best rider on the grid. We said that Bez was the second best rider on the grid, which I still think he is. And then Alex Marquez goes out and wins.
Mm. Yes.
You know what I mean?
Why is Sepang not an Aprilia track? Because I had the feeling going into the weekend, I'm thinking to myself, it's not an Aprilia track. It's not. And I put Bez there as a sympathy Bez second because, you know,
the heat?
It's got to be something. Yeah.
Because Sepang's, they test there because it's got everything.
Yeah.
So realistically, it should be down to the rider because that bike suits, that track should suit a lot of bikes. Obviously, if you're a shitter like Yamaha.
Yeah. But Raul Fernandez goes out and wins Phillip Island. And again,
this is what happens when you don't have Mark there, though. It's open.
Yeah.
It's so much more open. And you can't call who's actually, you know, you're not going to know who's going to win. Mm. And I didn't pick Alex Marquez. You did, though.
What was your highlight of the weekend? On track and off track.
On track?
At the track and off the track.
You're just confusing it now. On track?
Yep.
It would have to be Juan Mir getting a podium.
Yep.
That was my highlight for me. Off the track, probably walking Sepang. Only because as a fan, massive MotoGP Nuffy, you'll understand walking the track.
Yeah.
Growing up, watching it as a little kid, you know, 1999 was the first time it came on. I think Kenny Roberts Jr. either got pole or won on a Suzuki. I'm watching all that stuff when I was a kid.
Yeah.
And I was 4 or 5 years old. So for me, walking that and then seeing all the stands, surreal experience.
Mm.
What about you?
I really love the national anthem today.
Oh, okay.
I took my headphones off and there was no speakers in that main grandstand. And we could see the young bloke doing the national anthem, but no one could hear it.
Yeah.
And then the whole crowd starts singing. I actually got the GoPro and it was amazing. It was a surreal experience because we don't know the words and there's no music in the background. It's just them, you know, yelling. So passionate fans, yeah? So I absolutely love that. The anticipation of the start of the race was awesome.
Now, was that different to Thailand? Were they more passionate in Thailand? I can't really remember.
Yeah, I can't remember. We didn't watch the race together in Thailand.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I was in the media center recovering from alcoholism and heat stroke.
Yeah.
And you were in the Marquez stand with the fans. Off track, yeah. I think the pool... We had a couple of good pool sessions. The funniest one was, I think we're all in the spa or in the pool, and we're traveling with one of our mates, Marky Mark. He's about a 6-year-old bloke, but just the coolest dude ever. And he's walking in with like a strut. And then I think I said, that's a man who has no financial pressure.
Yeah, that was me. Yeah.
That was a strut of a man who has no financial pressure. I don't know why that stuck with me. It was just the funniest call of the weekend.
Truba.
And you have to be there, like, people at home going, what the fuck's he talking about?
Yeah, it's all about MotoGP, bro.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But yeah, we just had a great time.
It's funny, listening to it, to this, obviously we love talking MotoGP and we love everything about MotoGP, but there's nothing better than getting a good group of guys or girls.
Yep.
We just all gel. Like, it works. So it's not just us two. We've got, like, you know, 6, 7, 8, 9 of us.
Yeah.
The group, like, we talk so much shit and have such a good laugh. But it's realistically, it's all about the company that you bring.
100%. Yeah. And you guys thinking about it at home going, oh, gosh, should we do it? Let's get a group, 4 minimum. You know, get a group together and come over and you'll have a good time.
Yeah. It doesn't have to be Sepang. It could be Phillip Islands.
Yeah.
It could be Thailand. It could be fucking Mugello, whatever it is.
Yeah. I have to admit, getting here, the hotels, the city, I like Kuala Lumpur. But day-to-day for the track for me, I think I liked Burien better.
I agree.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree, which is weird, isn't it?
Yeah, it's weird because, I mean, the grandstands here in Malaysia were amazing. So, who knows? It could have been our first one in Burien, so maybe you've got a soft
spot. I've got a massive soft spot for that place. I love it.
Mm.
I got to say a quote, Morbidelli is a dog. From Adrian.
Yes.
Standing up, Quartararo. Fair, not fair, that pass.
It's hard for me. It looked terrible from the Quartararo's on board.
Yeah.
I haven't seen the off-board footage yet, so I can't comment. But yeah, it looked pretty nasty.
But is it like I still think it's a fair pass.
We talked about this in the truck in the way home. Yeah. So for us, Marquez makes those same moves, but Morbidelli is the first to complain when he gets a move done on him.
Yeah.
And he'd be the first one in the media, very typical Italian, complaining about it. Where Marquez, again, we talked about, you know, with Bezzecchi knocking him off, it's racing, it happens, whatever. When Martin knocked him off in Valencia 2 years ago, I would have done the same thing. You don't get that from Morbidelli. So when Marquez then goes and does those moves, it's a fair game,
yeah.
You know? And that's the difference. And we talked about this multiple times going, we had an hour trip in and an hour and a half trip back in the van every day for the Malaysian MotoGP. So for us, it was like a big talking point. Let's gather around, let's talk about it. And that was the biggest talking point coming home today.
Yeah, 100%. And like, it makes sense. And also another point one of the boys made is, if you're fighting for first or second, I can understand the move. But if you're fighting for like 8th, 9th or 10th, it's different.
Mm.
Realistically, like, and it's all about how you then, as you said, approach the situation like Mark does or Morbidelli does. But I still think it's a fair move. There's footage of Quartararo kind of laughing about it, being like, what the fuck? But I still think it's half a fair move.
Yeah, and he
didn't knock him out.
No, he didn't knock him out. But, I mean, that was the lightning, quick, cat-like reflexes.
It was amazing.
Of Quartararo. Like, we saw it the last second and just lifted the bike up. I mean, that was insane. I don't know how they do that. I really don't.
Nah.
You got a split second. I don't know if he touches him and he reflects off that, or it's just a natural, you know, as soon as you see him on the left-hand side. I mean, it's unbelievable. And that corner, it's just so hard to pass anywhere in the world now, like any track. I mean, that track, we walked it on Thursday, it was so wide. You could fit fucking 20 bikes along.
It's crazy. You
know, across that. But there's just so many single line, and these bikes are wider now, and it's just so hard to, you know, the brakes are so good as well. Everyone's braking the latest possible. All the electronics are working. Coming out of the corner, everyone just flats the throttle out and lets the electronics do the rest, you know? It's a different world now.
It was interesting watching Pedro Acosta going into the mushroom. He looked like he was braking earlier than Bags.
He did, yeah.
But then it was also closing in on him.
Yeah.
Which was just a weird thing to see.
Yeah, yeah.
And then it would be right on his ass, and then Bags would have a bit more power getting out of that mushroom.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. And the same with the second to last corner. You could tell from our angle that, you know, it seemed like Acosta was braking earlier, you know, and then sort of getting the run on him. But, yeah, I mean, again, MotoGP of old 10 years ago, you would just chuck it up the inside block pass and then go. But
they just
can't, they're already braking so late. If you just put more lead angle and a tighter brake, you're just going to come off.
100%.
Yeah.
Couldn't agree more.
Yeah.
Now, Moto2, Moto3.
Yes.
Jake Dixon winning.
Yes.
Crazy.
Yes, Jake Dixon out of nowhere again. Keeps his championship hopes alive, which is wild.
Yeah.
But yeah, he had great race pace in practice on Saturday morning, and it just, you know, obviously reflected in the main race, didn't it?
Yeah.
And Gonzalez.
Bro, oh my God. Crazy.
He had a 30-point lead, 40-point lead at one stage?
Man, he's got the collie wobbles, seriously.
He has. And, you know, we love him on this page. You know, we talk to him often. But two laps to go, you just can't put the bike down.
He just looked like it was going to crash. I was running wide. Yeah. It looked like the front was slipping, and then bang, it went. And now Diego Moreira's got, what, a 9-point advantage?
9-point advantage. Yep.
He's just steamrolling home, as Gavin Hemmett said. He's got all the momentum, and he's steamrolling home.
Yeah. And Diego Moreira qualified 16th, and then he was up the arse of him with three laps to go, put the pressure on him, and he crashes.
That's a world championship ride, though.
Yeah.
If you're qualifying 16th, it's not your round, and then to do that, that's a world championship ride.
Yep. Yeah, no, it was. It's a funny race. I mean, Moto2 being the last race, and obviously the red flagged after that incident with Joe Roberts. We had the theory of obviously what happened with the earlier Moto3 crash. The bike was in a precarious position. You know, they're already going to be on the front page for the wrong reasons. Mm. Let's not have another incident. I think that was a big precaution to do it. Probably the right decision, I think, in the end. I know a lot of people at home wouldn't think that, but, you know, Marshall's going out on the exit of a corner, blind corner. You just got to red flag it. So that's where a safety car would be good.
Yeah, good point. Imagine that.
Yeah, put the safety car out, collect the bike, and restart the race.
Fuck, that'd be a wild first turn.
Rolling start.
Yeah, rolling start.
Fuck. Have you ever done a rolling start in MotoGP before? In wet, like really wet conditions or anything? You probably want the bikes to go slower into the first corner, not faster, right?
It's like, imagine getting them to take off halfway through a corner. Yeah. That's something MotoGP would do. and then it would all just like launch themselves.
FIM. nothing, you know, it wasn't the most amazing race. He passed for the lead and then...
It's just all about the championship.
And a great ride from Moreira, 100%. Yeah.
Tie for Rosado winning Moto3.
Yeah, first Japanese rider since the Yumi Sasaki in 2022, maybe, James?
Yeah, around about that. I don't know.
No, good on him. He's had multiple chances this year as well. Blew a couple of times, very Japanese of him. And then comes out and dominates. Well done. Pity for Joel Kelso. Pick the medium tyre. Yeah. Don't pick the gamble, bro.
Yeah.
I know. Bang night and then copied him.
Yeah.
Don't gamble.
He did. He basically came out in the press that I copied Joel Kelso.
And the thing is, Pecco would have put the soft on. Might not have not got the puncture either. Yeah. I don't know. Hindsight's a wonderful thing. Yeah, Moto3 was...
That was a weird race because Rosado just took off. It was not like a last...
And a bit of a somber affair. We didn't know what was going on with the two young kids and had no information at the track at all. I'm sure at home you didn't either, but yeah.
We had nothing coming through Matt Burt, who was talking to us.
No, we had nothing. Nothing. So. Yeah, just left in lurch. We ran to the podium in after MotoGP and I was going to sort of ask around and I thought probably not the right thing to do, so... we didn't, but we ran to the podium, got some shots of that, and then ran back, and then, we just didn't have any information from anyone, so...
Alex Rins came out and said, I don't know if it was the right call, the race.
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, you said that to me before the podcast. He did it pre-race, not po-race, post-race, which would have changed things, but... if a rider's, without sounding, you know, really negative, if a rider hasn't passed away... you know, and he obviously still got life-threatening injuries. I don't think they should cancel the whole event.
I just don't think they're ever going to say that the rider has passed away in those few hours.
No.
You know.
Succumb to his injuries. We're praying, obviously, for Noah to come through. And, you know, obviously going to have some severe injuries and multiple surgeries. And, you know, we just pray that he's, you know, any possibility of a full recovery would be amazing. So
it's dangerous in motorcycle racing, mate. Yeah. Which is unfortunate.
Yeah.
Big Dog, hot takes. Let's get them going.
Yes. Hopefully the audio and stuff's been got right, guys. And we've had a bloody big 10 days, so hopefully we're okay.
Yeah, next week we'll be back to our normal selves again back in Melbourne.
But appreciate all the support. We even ran into a couple of you guys at the track. We have Malaysian fans, James. Crazy. So we really love that. And obviously a big commitment from everyone to come over. I mean, like, we love that. Like, you know, to come over to an overseas race. I mean, it's so cool. So many people from Perth. I mean, it's so cool.
Yeah, crazy.
Yeah.
That's cool. It is cool to see. Alrighty, thank you for everyone getting them in. There's actually a fucking lot and there hasn't been much time for everyone to get them in. But the first one is at Bay One Bikes. Pecco and Mir are only good on non-Aprilia tracks.
Interesting. Yeah.
I don't agree with that at all. Pecco's still better than that, even though it was a yo-yo. They're both yo-yos, because while Mir and Honda, we know they're getting better, but they're just struggling with consistency.
But I think an Aprilia track goes hand-in-hand with what Pecco's struggles are as well.
Yeah, it's a good
fast
point.
Fast corners.
Maybe relates more to Pecco, then, if actually saying that. Good point. At Adrian Aletti, Yamaha V4 is a dog, not even faster down the straight.
It's a good point. And he made that point to us as well, and I sort of revealed that earlier in the podcast, that, you know, I feel like that top speed should be the main contributor to pace. If they're going to change to a V4, they might as well just stick with what they have.
They've always been, Yamaha's notorious for always being the most agile bike.
Yeah.
How Aprilia are now.
Yeah.
You know, so maybe they still want to stay down that route, but have just that better engine and better drive. I'm not too sure. Hart _ Mel Bon. Honda could create a super team should Pedro Acosta and Fabio Quartararo decide to leave.
Yeah.
That is a super team. That is definitely a super team. I'm still jury's out on having two lead riders.
Yeah. Yep.
But as going back to what you said, Honda need the superstar signing, whether that be a Quartararo, which I don't see him doing because he just wants to go to that bike.
Yeah.
Where I can see Pedro Acosta to a degree doing that. To a degree.
Oh, 1,000%.
You know, he would be more of a chance. At It's Called Papa, rank all three races you guys went to this year in terms of overall experience.
Oh, that's a great question. Geez, that's hard, isn't it? There's no number three for me.
For me, number one is Budiam.
Yeah.
Just because it was the first overseas race. It was just, we had amazing accommodation. It was just amazing. I loved every minute of it.
Yeah.
Phillip Island second, Sepang third. Yeah. I'm being harsh.
Yeah, I'm on the same page. Yeah. I think I've enjoyed Sepang more than I enjoyed Phillip Island for total. Oh, but then it was so funny out and about Phillip Island, wasn't it?
That's what I mean. The overall experience. Hagel was Saturday night between like 10:30 and 12. Oh,
amazing. Yeah. And Sunday night.
Sunday night. Yeah. our boy Jack Giles, saw him out on Sunday night.
Yeah.
Anyone given a thought to Pecco having a secret illness?
God, Jack Giles, like Casey Stoner.
Yeah, like Casey Stoner spec.
Nah, it's just, he's got a secret mental illness, I think, that he's just struggling with.
It's the missus.
No, it's a sister. I keep saying that to you. It's a sister.
Death, Marco Bezzecchi.
Death staring him every time he fucking walks in the thing. It can't be good for you, I'm telling you.
Yeah, you keep saying that. Who would you replace Binder with at KDM? By at Pewee_89.
That's a really hard one. Because you've got a lot of talent coming through in the KDM system. Valentin, Peroni, Carpe.
Rueda.
If Ferrari is going to be okay, I mean, that's the other thing, we don't know about that. I mean, obviously he's got broken wrists, I think, done for the year. Lucky he secured the championship as well. Both his world champions are going to be out, you know. That's a really hard question. I don't know.
That's where Manu Gonzalez could be replacing him.
Yeah.
I like this one. At Braden_Hardcastle, I'll answer this. How sweaty was Big Tom at Sepang? The man was probably just got out of a shower. You were cooking today.
Yeah, sweatiest I've ever been in my life.
Fuck.
Yeah, this today. Yeah. And I'm like cooked, I'm telling you. Like,
it's actually amazing you're getting up for a pod, to be honest.
Like, my brain's fine, but my body.
Do you have a cold shower when you get home?
Oh, I had.
I don't know.
I had a long shower. No, I feel okay. I feel way better than what I did in Burium. Way better. Because Burium on the Sunday, I was cooked, but. Yeah, it was hot, and you're sitting there and you really are sweating.
Yeah.
You know, profusely.
Yeah, it was hard work.
I remember I went to the media center to have lunch, and I'm sitting there, you were there, and I'm having my pasta. The guy in front of me is looking at me like, because I'm in 18 degree air conditioning, but because my body temperature is so hot, I'm like dripping, like, and I'm in air conditioning. The guy's like, what the fuck's wrong with this guy, you know?
Yeah, it's very funny.
There's a bit of chilly in the pasta as well, and it gets me going. So
yeah, as soon as you walked into the track though, and it was like heat radiating from the concrete, yes. You're cooking.
Oh god, yeah. And that was 11 o'clock this morning.
Walking past all the shawarma.
Yeah, that was rough.
And it's like open fires.
Yeah.
At J9White99, I think. That's Janice, whatever her name is.
Oh yeah. Yep.
Good listener of the pod.
Yeah.
Bags didn't have a technical. It was a tyres like everyone else. He just wants to go to VR46. Essentially, he's a princess, Pecco, and can't handle not being number one. Amazing actress.
I think it's a great hot take. I really do.
Yeah.
I think for me, it's he's mentally cooked from Marquez, and obviously. He's just the biggest yo-yo we've ever seen title defense history, as we touched on.
Do you think he wants to go to VR46?
Oh, I don't know.
I can't see that yet.
Nah.
But I like how she wants to
That's such a fucking... That's such a Italian thing to do. Like, go back to the Italian team. When you're going to get, like... When he is he still going to be on an MY25? Like...
Yeah.
So, or 26.
Yeah. That's very funny. At Willie_Nels, Trump in town to make Honda great again. Works.
Trump is here. I can't believe it. Trumpy.
I don't know if you get this, but at Toyo192, Pecco going to Lords on vacation.
Lords?
Yeah.
Like the cricket club.
That's what I'm reading. I was hoping you would get that. No.
Messages. Yoyi Toto. What was his name?
Toyo192.
Toto. Message us and let us know what that
means. At Mark Elbs 2.0, when do you think Pedro Acosta can win a race?
Ooh.
That's a good question.
I reckon Portimao is going to suit that bike.
I really thought he had a good chance this round.
Yeah, no, he said he'll come. He'll come. Maybe not this year, but he'll come. Only two races left. Amazing.
He's definitely winning a race next year. Guaranteed. It's amazing that Rael Fernandez has won a race before him.
Yeah.
Or like, you know, between the year or in Fermanaldegaard.
Mm.
But next, I don't know if I can see him now winning a race. Maybe Valencia. Valencia always throws up a wacky result. Maybe Valencia actually might be his track.
Yeah, it's just not... It's just, yeah.
But it's a hard one.
Well, it has been a KDM track in the past. Remember when Binder and Miller finished 1-2 there, didn't they? Or did Miller crash maybe? But I'm pretty sure...
They were fast. Both of them were fast. Yeah. So maybe something like Valencia could be their track. But definitely by next year, 2026, he will be winning races. Last one at Paul Ryan _ Fabio on the Honda would be fighting for wins. Yami one lap pace is wild. Race is balls.
Yeah.
So he would be doing amazing, Fabio Quartararo, if he was racing on a Honda, but he's just not going to go there. He's not going to go there. Nah. He wants to go on Ducati. He wants to be on Aprilia. He needs to be on a bike that knows it.
He wants to be on a European team, 100%.
Yeah. It's just how it is. He wouldn't even go to a KDM. Like, it's just those are the two. T-Shabs.
What a weekend.
What a massive weekend.
What a last 2 weeks we've had. Yeah. Amazing. Amazing. So, love all the support from everyone at home.
Thanks everyone coming up and saying good day.
But yeah, put it there, mate.
Thank you, mate.
It's been unbelievable. Thank you. We'll do it all again next year.
Yeah.
We'll see you next week.
Yeah, that's right. We'll be back to normality next week.
Yeah. Back to our normal jobs and sadness and depression.
I shouldn't laugh. Thanks, guys.
Appreciate
it.